This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's Jodrell Banks Centre for Astrophysics. For the full show and archives, visit jodcast.net.
Hello, this is Max Potter for the Jodcast, and I'm joined by Dr. Romain Tartez. He's from the School of Earth and Environmental Sciences at the University of Manchester, and he's doing some very exciting stuff to do with a mission called PROSPECT that he's going to tell us all about. So, wouldn't mind introducing yourself and telling us a bit about your work?
Hi, Max, and thanks for having me. Yeah, so I am a research fellow in the School of Earth and Environmental Sciences, as you just said. And I'm starting a project in September funded by the UK Space Agency to work on lunar samples and to try and understand how much water is in there, how much volatiles are in there, what are their isotopic signatures, so that we can understand the sources of these volatiles. And this work is tied in with PROSPECT, PROSPECT being a mission or a package developed by the European Space Agency that should fly to the moon, hopefully, in the early 2020. I think it's 2022 at the moment, the launch date. And it will fly to the moon on a Russian mission, Luna 27, that would land at the lunar South Pole.
Okay, that sounds really exciting. So what is the motivation behind the PROSPECT mission to the moon?
So the motivation behind PROSPECT, main science driver, is to go to the moon, go to the South Pole of the moon, where we've never been before, and try and see if there is water ice present there in the subsurface, and if it's there, how much is there, in what form it is, how deep it is trapped, is it like pure ice layers, is it ice grains mixed in the lunar soils. So it all kind of kick-started about 10 years ago now when in parallel people doing some sample investigation with modern lab instrumentation reanalyzed lots of samples brought back during the Apollo missions and managed to measure tiny quantities of water trapped in minerals in lunar rocks. And in parallel to that, spacecraft orbiting the moon also managed to detect some deposits that we think are water ice. There was LCROSS mission, which was NASA basically impacted one of their spacecraft in a crater at the lunar South Pole and measured what species were ejected from that impact. And they managed to measure a few weight percent of water ice, among other things, like methane or H2. So we really think there is water ice, especially in these craters that some craters at the pole never see the light of the sun because of the geometry. And so these craters have been in the shadow for 4.5 billion years. So it probably gave quite a bit of time to accumulate ice delivered by comets or asteroids. So that's the main motivation behind that.
Okay, cool. That's really exciting. So I'm sure everyone is familiar with the idea that where we find water, we find life. Is that part of what's exciting about this mission for you?
The life aspect of it is, it's not very developed. I think it's really unlikely to find life on the moon. There is no atmosphere to protect anything on the surface from the harsh environment of space, cosmic rays, solar rays. So the life aspect of it, at least for me, is not really important. I'm interested in understanding what impactors delivered water and other volatiles to the surface of the moon. Right. So there are several possibilities. The solar wind could have probably delivered hydrogen to the lunar surface. Comets contain lots of water. Half of it is probably water ice. So comets hitting the surface could have delivered water. And asteroids, especially some types of asteroids from which we have meteorites that we call carbonaceous chondrites, these types of meteorite can contain up to 10% water. So they may have delivered. And since we know that there may be some water inside the moon, volcanic eruption on the lunar surface could have released some of this water as well that may then have migrated at the surface of the moon and being right. trapped into these deep craters.
Yeah.
Cool. So for me, the really key question is is there water there? How much? And ultimately, where did it come from?
So it's more about the sort of history of what happened on the moon, how that water got there.
Yeah, exactly. By learning what happened to the moon for 4.5 billion years, we're actually learning what happened to the Earth, because the moon has been tied around the Earth since it formed, about 4.5 billion years. And on Earth, that first billion year is largely erased because of plate tectonics, because of erosion. We don't have much remnants of that period. So the moon is actually a giant archive to what happened to the Earth in the first couple of billion years after it formed.
Oh, interesting. So have there been attempts to extrapolate what you know about what things have crashed into the moon, and then you can infer things about what's crashed into the Earth as well around that period? Or
yeah, you can in theory, there are models that, based on the size of the two objects and their gravitational pull, that say if there is one object hitting the moon, there will be 10 hitting the Earth. So yeah, there are some ideas to try and reconstruct that. And understanding what delivered water to the moon could help us understand what delivered water to the Earth, because that's a fundamental question that we've got clues. There are several options, the options being basically comets, asteroids, a mix of the two. So we don't really know what the origin of water on the Earth in the first place either.
How about the origin of water on these comets? Do we know where that comes from? Can we trace it back any further, or is that still somewhat of a mystery?
Well, there was water in the solar system when it formed, and comets being formed quite further out in the solar system where the environment is really cold, they were able to accrete significant quantities of this water. The thing is, for terrestrial planets like the Earth, the Moon, Mercury, Venus, since they formed quite close to the Sun, we think that most of the volatiles they had initially probably evaporated quite quickly. So that's why we think that what we have now on Earth, for example, has been delivered after the formation of the Earth.
So you mentioned that Prospect was funded by the British Space Agency. Is it the British Space Agency?
So my fellowship is funded by the UK Space Agency.
Right.
Prospect is a European Space Agency package to which the UK Space Agency participate. And Prospect is basically two-part. It's a drill that's being built by a company in Italy, Leonardo, and it's sample handling and miniaturized mass spectrometer that's being built at the Open University. So these two components form the Prospect package. And the idea behind Prospect is to fly to the moon. At the moment, it's on board the Luna 27 mission, the Russian mission, to land on the moon safely, and then to start drilling and extract samples at different depths, drilling down to 1.5 meters, maybe up to 2 meters. There's quite a lot of technical challenges, but that's the plan. And then these samples preserve as much as we can the volatile inventory in these samples and transfer them to the gas analysis package. So it comprises ovens, and so that by heating up these samples, we release any volatiles that are in there. And then there are different parts in the mass spectrometer, but the idea would be to analyze these gases to see what are the species there, and then analyze the isotopic composition of some species like hydrogen, carbon, nitrogen, because these isotopic compositions, so basically hydrogen got two isotopes, two main isotopes, hydrogen and deuterium, and that ratio is a really good tracers for the origin of the volatiles. So comets tend to have very high deuterium to hydrogen ratio, while the sun, the solar wind, has got really low, and asteroids are in between them. So by measuring precisely that isotopic signature, we can get a pretty good idea about the source of this water ice, for example.
So if you found more deuterium or heavy water, then you would assume it was the solar wind that had deposited it, I guess?
That would be the comet.
The comet,
is the heavy hand member.
Ah, right.
If it's really light, that would tend to indicate that's probably the solar wind, the main contributor. So that's the science part. There is also a more technological part. So there are a few experiments in there to try and produce some resources on the moon. So, for example, in lunar soils, there is a mineral called ilmenite, which is an iron titanium oxide. And there is a, a, an experiment which is ilmenite reduction, from which you can produce water. So the idea is to try and see if we can produce water from a lunar soil in situ, because that eventually that key question about is there water ice at the poles of the moon. For me and for us scientists, it's really interesting scientifically, but for space agencies or for companies, there's lots of private companies that have an interest in going to the moon now. Their interest would be to see if there is something economically viable. For example, if there is water, you can split hydrogen and oxygen, and these two components are the main combustible for rockets. So eventually, in 20 years' time, we may be launching rockets from the surface of the moon, which, with a gravity of 6, the gravity of the Earth, allow us to go much further in the solar system.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I find that happens a lot in research where there's these sorts of commercial interests that coincide with really interesting science questions. It's like in fusion, you've got guys who are doing laser plasma fusion interactions, which has got all sorts of some pretty scary applications, but it also can be used to model things like supernovas, right?
And so as scientists, we basically we tag along some other interests. NASA didn't go to the moon in the late 60s, early 70s, just for the science and just for collecting sample. They went for political reasons. And now we've got these amazing 400 kilograms of samples collected on the moon surface to work on and learn a lot about the moon. And we always learn more because technology improves, and what we measure now, we were not able to measure in the 70s. But what people will do in 30 years' time, we're not able to do it now. So we're always learning. So these Apollo missions, they're amazing, but they went to a quite restricted area on the moon, basically on the near side and around the equatorial region, which we found out later, quite recently, that geochemically it's a quite anomalous region on the moon. It's enriched in bizarre elements like thorium or rare earth elements. So what we learn from these samples may not tell us the whole story about the moon. So that's why we need more missions to go to places we've never been. So hopefully China is joining the moon race as well now with a few plans for more missions.
So you mentioned that there are things that were impossible back in the 70s and won't be, aren't possible today, but will be in the future. The lunar environment is quite extreme. So what difficulties are there in building things that can handle that?
So you're right, it's quite extreme. The temperature variations between day and night are really, really extreme, because you don't have atmosphere to shield you. So you're directly exposed to the space environment. And I think that's one of the main difficulty is, basically one of the main difficulties to survive lunar night when there is no sun and the temperature goes down a lot. So yeah, technically it's challenging. Drilling in the lunar regolith. So we've been, as part of the Prospect team, with quite a few colleagues from the UK, Italy, Germany, the Netherlands. We had one of our meeting at the company building the drill in Italy, and so we went to see how they're testing their drill. And there's lots of challenging with drilling into basically a material we don't really know what it's going to be, because if we know what a typical lunar soil is like, we know it's their mechanical properties quite well from the Apollo missions. The Apollo missions did a few deep drills, 2 meters depth. So we know from an equatorial location what it looks like, but if it's got 10% water ice mixed in, it's going to make drilling into it much more challenging. So yeah, there are lots of technical challenges.
Yeah. Oh, fascinating. Wish you the best of luck with that. Thank you very much. Really interesting. Is there anything else that you've got going on at the minute that you'd like to mention?
Not really. So Prospect is doing well, and the European Space Agency is committed to do that for the next few years. So hopefully it will fly to the moon very soon, and hopefully we'll have much more missions, private spacecrafts, space agencies going to the moon and keep learning about the moon.
Brilliant. All right. Well, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks for your time.